Hello, my name's Kate Rolls and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust, so you're taking part in Anthony Gormley's new artwork, One and Other.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. The date today is the 18th of August 2009 and the time is 5:15 a.m. If right. I can please ask you to state your full name, your date of birth and where you come from.
Yes, hello, I'm Anthony Pace. My date of birth 16th August 1962 and at the moment I live in Wellham Green in Hertfordshire.
And is that where you're from originally?
I was born in Crayford in Kent. Okay. And I lived for 10 years in Switzerland. Yes, and then came back here about 10 years ago.
Why did you go to Switzerland?
I got a job there. I was looking for a job for my then girlfriend, now wife.
Yeah.
I was offered a job in Switzerland. I'm a very keen skier.
Right.
And it seemed ideal. The pay was good, the conditions, the location was good. I could ski every weekend during the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an experience. And I like trying new things,
yeah,
as you can tell.
Yeah, you're here today to take part in One Another. What was it that motivated you to apply for this?
Well, as I said, I like trying new things. I heard about this and thought, well, I don't understand why everyone doesn't put their name down. It's certainly, you know, I'm up for anything, try everything once type approach. And fantastic.
Yeah.
So, I just couldn't not do it, I think.
And so when you found out that you had got a place, how did you decide how to use your hour on the plinth?
Well, actually, there was a practice session before the plinth started and I was invited along to that by One Another, and I came along dressed as Where's Wally, and I had the Where's Wally outfit from skiing, because we always ski as a family in fancy dress on the last day, and it's quite hard to find an outfit that you can ski in and keeps you warm enough but, you know, manoeuvrable enough, so it's a perfect outfit for skiing, and it just seemed, as I had it, seemed the obvious choice. I came along to the practice session, and I was in all the papers with Anthony Gormley. I was very impressed. So today I couldn't not wear it.
And did you read the books as a child? Where's Wally?
No, not as a child. My three children had them, but even then I wasn't a particular fan. It was only for the skiing that I was looking for a fancy dress outfit. But of course, since then I've become more interested, and I think they're making a film of Where's Wally soon, and I've been reading a bit about him and about the illustrator, and Martin Hanford, give him a name check.
Mm-hmm.
And I've become more interested. In fact, the same with Anthony Gormley. I hadn't really heard of him because I'm not an artist, I don't work in the art field. But since this project, I've suddenly, of course, become interested, and now I need to go and see all his other work.
Yeah. You've come today with all your family.
That's right.
How is it for all of you to experience this?
Well, I think, especially my three boys who are 15, 13, and 11, to, you know, oh, what's he up to now? Chris, my wife, is always very supportive of anything I do. She's always keen to encourage me and everything. So the only thing was, it was a very, very short night. I think I was preparing a lot for the plinth and a couple of hours sleep. But I do love the randomness of it, and I feel very lucky to have been picked.
Have you done much practicing?
Oh yes, and it's interesting that over the last 4 or so weeks that I've known I've been coming on. It originally started with I'm going to stand on the plinth as Where's Wally, and then of course what in the web stream, I realised that that's interesting for the first few minutes, and you've got a whole hour, and just as you wouldn't stand on the stage and do one thing in an hour. I realised that to be interesting, I need to do more. So what I'm hoping to do is, well, what I'm going to attempt to do is 60 different things within the hour. But some of the things are just saying hello to the family. So some of them will be quick. Some of them are going to take ages. One in particular where I'm going to try and put up some, what I'm going to call a plinthscape. It's quite likely to go wrong, but that's part of the fun of having a go and see what happens. And I'll try. I almost expect to fail, but that's part of the fun of having a go.
Did you make a costume yourself? The
yes, yes. This is the hair's made of foam sheet, I suppose you call it. The hat I bought from eBay. Somebody in Ireland's knitting these hats and selling them. The top, you can probably tell I'm hand painted, and painted with Dulux. I painted the white with Dulux wall paint, and the red with fabric paint. And to me, that's part of fancy dress. It's the fun of making your own costume and just doing something unusual. It wouldn't be the same for me if you just went and bought it. It's very British, I think.
Yeah. Have you always liked fancy dress?
I think so, yes. Yeah, as long as I can remember. And I've skied for many years and always skied in fancy dress one of the days. I think my first costume was like Dracula with a flowing cape, which again is great for skiing. And since I've known Chris, she's always joined in, and then her family have skied with me as well, and they've all joined in. So we've had choir boys and bishops and everything you can think of.
Wonderful. Are you quite theatrical?
No, not at all. No, I suppose I am a bit of a show off, you know. But I'm a software engineer, so I, you know, my day job is sitting in a cubicle, keeping my head down. Mm-hmm. In fact, I describe myself on the website as extrovert software engineer, and there's a software joke that extrovert software engineers look at horseshoes instead of their own. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think my father taught me to always do whatever I feel, to be myself, and that's where that comes from. And I do, and I don't worry too much what other people think.
Fantastic. And is your wife the same?
Yes, she would. She's more likely to join in than lead in this madness. In this, but yes, so she would always join in.
So how do you like being a software engineer?
Oh, so it suits me very, very well. I feel as though I'm good at it. So whether I am or not doesn't matter, but I feel as though I am. Mm-hmm. So that suits me. In a way, the structure of write software just suits me. And I try to. You get different software engineers. Some write code very, very quickly and produce results. Mine is much more beautiful code, and is more likely to work very well, but it takes me ages and ages to finish it. And it's, you know, neither's right or wrong. I think they're different. So in a way, maybe my software is my art. I write beautiful code, but no one sees it.
What kind of code do you use?
I mostly write C++, and it's embedded code. So it's the code like you would have. It's actually for an audio company, but it would be embedded in, like the control system in your car that puts the brakes on, or in the software in your camera. But this is for, at the moment, I'm working on a mixing desk, and I've done all sorts. But embedded software, and the idea is you don't know this software there. Mm. That's my software.
Brilliant. And how long have you been working in this field?
I've always worked in software. I did an electronics degree, and at that time I drifted into software doing my degree. So, and then since then I've always done software. So, it's part of me, really.
Are you happy with where you're working at the moment with the company that you're at?
I couldn't say, because they might hear. No, it's a good company. I've worked at a range of companies. This company is very focused on getting the product out and finished, which has to be sometimes. But I work with a great bunch of people, and it's a big it's a big, it's part of Harman, so it's an enormous company, and they're very good.
And how about your, would you like to say a little bit about your other interests? You said you like skiing a lot.
Yeah, skiing's probably my main hobby, but of course you can only do that in the winter. Mm. I almost collect hobbies. I think it's a point. It's part of having a go at different things. Yeah. You know, I've tried stone sculpting and woodwork and making furniture and photography and I haven't done flower arranging. That's an idea. No, I think I pick something up and I get to a stage where I think, okay, I think I understand everything I need to understand about that, and then I move on. Mm. So, I kept pigeons at one time when I was quite young. I've got what we call the office at home, which is one of the bedrooms, and it's just full of sort of past hobbies that I can't bring myself to throw things away, like cameras and chisels and all of that stuff. Mm. It's
Do you like collecting things as well?
No, I've never been much of a collector, because it's almost, it feels like you're just collecting other people's work, and I want to do my own thing. Mm. I collected stamps when I was about 13 probably, but it doesn't seem much point to me.
What about your sort of your family life? What's that like?
I'm almost sort of perfect 2.2 children, except I've got three. Mm. A perfect wife. You're going to ask me how long I've been married. 17 or 18 years, something like that. Oh dear, I hope she doesn't hear this. We got married in Switzerland when she came over there, and we had a great time there. We got married in a tiny little church overlooking the Rhine, and about 30 of the family flew over. It was a fantastic wedding, and then we all came back to Gatwick, had a big party there for everyone else. Our three sons, I ought to name them. Oliver's the oldest at 15, Dominic is 13, and Damien's the little one at 11, but they're all growing. They're tall like me, they're all growing up. Someone said they look like triplets. They are looking more and more alike. And they're all really very good. I'm very pleased with how they're doing academically. As far as I can tell, that's luck. What can I say? Perfect family. I appreciate my luck.
It's lovely. Mm. And what about your family history? Do you know much about where you come from as a family?
I looked into one of my hobbies, of course, looking at my family history, and I followed my father's father back down the paternal line. And I went back probably six or seven generations to John Pace, who worked on the river here in London. In fact, all of the family are very centrally London based, and I seem to be the one who's moved away to do something like this. And it's fascinating to think of those people having walked past the plinth when it was, having seen it. I'm sure they all have. And now, I'm going to be on there. So that brings goosebumps to you. Yeah. I've only got back that far, and I would love to go back further. Mm-hmm. What I did is I took a DNA test, and it matched fairly well with some American Paces who left England earlier than that. So I'm fairly sure that it goes back, and that was from London, it goes back even further, based in London. So, I'm not a Londoner myself, but I feel very much like one. You know? Yeah.
And what kind of experiences would you say have really shaped you into the person you are today?
I mentioned my father. I think he was a great influence. I've got one sister, and I would, you know, when Dad was out fixing the car, I was out fixing the car with him and passing spanners, and I learnt a lot from him. And I think he taught me, well, obviously what he knew, but he also taught me the things which he regretted in his life. And I think one of them was more being yourself. And like he felt as though he should have done more at an earlier age. And he always encouraged me not to, you know, as I said, not to worry about what other people think, just go and get on with it. So I think that's probably the greatest influence on my life. What else? And of course, I'm picking up experience all the time, including this. This is. I think going to Switzerland was a big part. Learning a new language, we learnt German. Learning another culture and being away for 10 years, looking back at England, made me appreciate the things which, without having left the country, you take for granted. Pubs particularly. The sense of humour is, I know it was German, but the sense of humour is part of the English way of life, and it's in everything we do. So we'd have a meeting at work and there would be humour in the meeting, and I assumed that was normal worldwide, and it's not necessarily. So that influenced, you know, me a lot, and yeah. If anyone's listening to this who's never worked abroad, do it.
Coming back to the UK, did you bring much of the culture back with you, do you think? Or the way of life that you've learned over there?
That's interesting. We brought back some habits. So Swiss people don't start eating before they've engwerted each other, which is like bon appetit. They don't. And so we actually still do that. And when you chink glasses with someone, you always look them in the eye. There's a lot of using names, which, and I've got such a bad memory for names, I really struggled. But that, I suppose we've brought back, you know, we would never raise glasses to each other and not look each other in the eye, even as a software engineer. and of course we picked up, well, not souvenirs, but just furniture and plates and things, you know, glasses from wine festivals, that sort of thing. So there are still quite a bit of influence in the house, if you like, even after 10 years back.
Is wine an interest of yours?
No, not particularly. Well, I do like drinking, so mostly beer, but the wine festivals are... Switzerland and Germany in particular they have a wine festival during the afternoon, and they all go and they drink plenty and they have music and eating, and it's always a fun family time, and it's just such a shame that doesn't happen here. So not only being abroad, looking back at England, being here and looking out at, I mean, I know it's only one country, but you can see where this country could be improved. So we had a lot of fun at wine festivals, and probably less so since we've had the boys, of course. But we go to the pub most Fridays after work and take the boys with us. And it's strange being out of the home environment. There's nothing to distract us, so we sit around and talk, and we try to encourage that as a family anyway, eating together and. I think I've wandered off topic.
So, is that quite important to sort of to talk, to sit down and talk with your family?
I think to include the boys in what we do as a family is very important. Now I'm going to shock you. Now we haven't got a television, and. That it started as an accident that we couldn't bring our Swiss television back, and then we enjoyed the change in life of having a television. I'm sorry, Sky. I think that's made a big difference. So we do. I mean, the boys play on the computer. They play games. We've been working in software. Of course, we've got a house full of computers, and So they play games, they play on the Game Boys and things. But we do talk a lot and we try to eat together. And I'm very aware that the eldest is 15, hoping he'll be off to university soon, and suddenly they'll be gone. So we're trying to make the most of it and to enjoy their company and hopefully guide them in the process.
Do you see yourselves in the boys at all? You
Yes, very much so, yes. Each of them has different traits. I think Dom, the middle one, looks like I looked at that age. That's what a lot of people tell me. So he's going to end up looking like this, poor him. the youngest, Damien, he always sort of follows me around and helps me when I'm doing jobs in the garden or whatever. So in that way, he's like me. Ollie's the academic one, so I don't know where he gets that from. Chris, my wife's a nurse, and you know, I got a degree, but she studied at least as hard as I did. So I mean, we're not very academic, but we got that far in our lives. But I think I get the feeling he'll go a lot further. He's very bright, which is a treat.
Yeah. Do you have any religious beliefs?
Well, I was brought up Church of England. I went through a phase of being born again Christian when I was younger, and the more I think about it, the less I believe, I think. Mm. I'm planning to mention it on the plinth, but there's a children's book called Tatty Boggle, and the main character in the book is just always look on the bright side, and whatever happens, you know, just enjoy it. And I think that's probably the nearest to religion I've got at the moment.
Yeah.
I know that they say religion changes as you get older and towards the end of your life, so we'll see. But what I strongly believe is that everyone should be allowed to believe whatever they want. And if people are happy believing whatever they want, that's, you know, I'm certainly not going to try and change their minds. That's up to them.
And who are you doing this for, taking part in one another?
Oh, just me. It's like trying a new hobby. It's just doing something that became available and I couldn't resist. So it's not particularly for any charity or I love the idea of it being like particularly this being recorded for history. You know, I could imagine my grandchildren coming across this or great grandchildren. You know, I think that would be absolutely fantastic. And they say, "Oh, that he's doing what you do." that would be incredible, I think.
Yeah.
So hello.
And do you think of yourself, you were saying before that you're an extrovert, the extrovert before engineering.
Yes.
Do you think of yourself as an extrovert?
I suppose so. I think I, particularly at work, I think I behave, or at least in work I behave. So if I'm out with work people, maybe I won't behave so much. I think as long as it's harmless fun, you know, then... you know, if I'm dancing and I'm on my own dancing and everyone else is not, then I'm happy. I've probably had a couple of beers. it's all harmless. There are people in the world who are real extroverts, and I've seen a few on the plinth already, and they're real extroverts. So I'm not like that, but. I won't be taking my clothes off.
And what was it like where you grew up?
I grew up in mostly in Pinner, and it was very nice. It was I went to a comprehensive school. Of course, I knew very little different. It was a very normal, happy upbringing. We were out on our bikes a bit more than children are these days, but. Yeah, I mean, it was. I had a great childhood. It felt very safe. It was a nice place to live. It was. We went on a lot of small holidays, like camping holidays for the weekends, and as well as exploring, you know, this country and France particularly. It feels such a normal upbringing to me that it's hard to describe it. So.
What about your parents? What did your parents do?
My dad worked for Schweppes and then Cadbury Schweppes. He was a manager for data entry. So I think he had about 30 girls working for him, typing stuff in, because I think in those days that's how you got information into a computer. So. And he stayed at that job, I think, his whole career. My mum, well, she was at home some of the time, and she worked doing sort of odd jobs. She worked in wholesale retail, but office type work. She met my dad when she worked at Schweppes. Yeah, my dad died about more like 7 years ago. So that was a sad time, but you know, you get on with it. My mum's still very active. She drives around and line dances, and she's still very active, which is great.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Oh goodness, There will be, but I can't think of anything at the moment. Just how grateful I am to be taking part, and what a lovely experience it is. And and great grandchildren, get on with your homework.
Thank you very much.
That's right.